welcome to the post-Super Bowl episode of Phil and Lisa Ruin the Movies. We're going to take a look at the bumper crop of trailers that cropped up in between periods. Is that what they have played? Football? Innings?
Quarters.
All right, anyway, apparently there was...
Why don't you introduce yourself? Now that you've exposed yourself as world's greatest sportsman, Philip Michaels.
I am world's greatest sportsman, Philip Michaels, and with me is the supremely indifferent Lisa Schmeiser.
I'm Lisa Schmeiser. I don't care for the sports ball. What are sports? Sports are difficult. Football? They don't play with their feet.
Well, they do in England.
Yes, they do.
Anyway, yes, this is Lisa Schmeiser. I'm here with Philip Michaels as per the usual for Phil and Lisa Ruin the Movies Super Bowl Trailers Edition.
Yes, there were many, as is the want of the Super Bowl broadcast, the commercials. There are lots of car commercials and lots of...
Movies
about car commercials and lots of movie trailers.
Yes.
In between the ads that are allegedly subverting the president, though not really.
Yeah.
So, since we don't care for cars and do care for movies, let's talk about the movie trailers that
so how fitting that the first one we talk about is The Fate of the Furious, which is a movie about cars.
Oh, yeah. That's a good tie-in. And, yeah.
It's part of the Fast and the Furious franchise, from what I understand.
Yes, it is. And I can't speak for you, because you will pick up a lot of things on cable.
Yeah.
Just as audio wallpaper during the day when you're working on stuff.
And yeah, I think my...
So I don't know. I can say definitively, I have never seen a minute of the Fast and the Furious movies. I don't even know what number they're up to. I guess this is eight?
Yeah.
Maybe nine?
So in all honesty... You're right, my movie habits tend to be, I haven't seen anything like this before this is on. It's how I fell into the Tyler Perry wormhole.
Yeah.
And ended up watching like four of his movies in a row one day.
Wow.
Well, the thing is, though, is there...
Was I on a trip?
I think so.
Yeah,
and
okay.
I'm going to defend that choice.
No, it's fine.
I feel like it's necessary to be fluent in all aspects of pop culture, not just the...
If that came across as sneering about you watching like all manner of terrible thing on TV, or
some of them are quite good.
Some are quite good, and you stumble into things that way. I admire your ability to do that.
Well, thank you.
It's not an ability that I share. That's why I thought maybe there was a chance that one day you stumbled across the Fast and the Furious somehow.
I've actually seen movies with the different cast members of the Fast and the Furious.
Well, there are literally 50 of them now.
Yeah, I feel like they're like the Gremlins, where you just toss them car keys and they keep growing.
Yeah.
Michelle Rodriguez looks familiar. The bald people are all frankly interchangeable at this point. There's just this phalanx of shiny chrome dome people driving. There used to be a Paul Walker, but alas, Paul Walker has transcended this mortal plane, which is disappointing, because honestly, like, one of the greatest joys I had was watching a shark documentary, and then the camera panned across the deck, and there was Paul Walker, like, mopping up in the wake of the chum, and he looked to be the happiest man on the planet.
Yes, that was how he spent his
Fast and Furious monies. He spent it on shark research.
Yes, he would buy a spot on shark research boats
and just like mop up after scientists, and he was literally the happiest man on that boat.
Mm-hmm.
And so he'll always hold a place in my heart for that, because I enjoy somebody who can embrace a passion as wholesome as shark research.
I looked it up on IMDb, uh-huh. The Fate of the Furious.
Yes.
And it is directed by F. Gary Gray, who did the Italian Job remake that you and I saw in the theater,
which would explain why there is both Charlize Theron and a lot of the car chase seem pretty similar. We did really like the Italian Job back when it came out 14 years ago.
Yeah, a long time ago, because he has not really done things that I've liked since then. Yeah, he did Straight Outta Compton, which we have not watched yet.
Which I like.
Well, that was before the Italian Job.
Yeah, but the point is, he did Friday. The man has already contributed greatly to pop culture.
That is true.
So he's got a whole lot of that stuff going on.
But let's see, because 2003 was the Italian Job. People look at IMDb on podcasts as always. There was a long... He did not work for a while.
Well, I hope he was like stay-at-home dadding or doing something where it was a matter of he chose not to work, not that he couldn't work.
No.
So if you guys know separately, please feel free to let us know.
We liked
the Italian Job.
I'm looking forward to Straight Outta Compton. That's sitting on our TIFO right now, and I want to watch that.
I'm sure he's going to do a competent job helming the franchise, but again, like I said, it's a bunch of tough bald guys at this point, and Whatever. And
yeah.
Also, there's a submarine, and I thought...
Yeah, there's a scene where they're chasing a submarine. Vin Diesel is driving the submarine.
And why wouldn't he?
Yeah, in a Hunt for Red October remake. Like a glorious day, comrades!
I feel like he's capable of driving a sub. Like, if you asked me to rank the list of action stars in American movies who could plausibly steer submarines, because I don't think you drive a submarine. I think you steer it or sail it, perhaps.
Yeah.
But
no, you drive it.
Anyway, I trust Vin Diesel with...
You get the keys and you drive it out of the lot.
Look, I trust Vin Diesel with all of my nautical submersibles, okay?
Sure.
But I do think there's something kind of grimly ironic about all of these cars racing across an ice sheet when, in fact, it is rampant fossil fuel overuse that's contributing to climate change and making ice sheets melt.
I'm sure it's like that's a the really point of that toxic scene.
Circle of life.
Mm-hmm.
So that was just gross. Shall we move on to the next ad result?
Yes. Speaking of
toxic and gross circles of life?
Yeah, speaking of movies with lots of sequels,
uh-huh.
Pirates of the Caribbean, or yeah. Caribbean,
yeah.
Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Oh, Lord, yeah. Didn't we already discuss this trailer, which I saw?
No.
I saw it before, I think I saw it before Arrival.
Or Rogue One.
Oh, Rogue One. Like more like Rogue. Yeah, because Arrival is more prestige.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Javier Bardem is in this one, because I guess people want summer houses. And... And the thing is I watched the original. I cannot believe we have to use these words in conjunction with a movie based on an amusement park ride, but I watched the original trilogy, and by, like, movie number three, it was a bunch of British people who were like, I just do this so I can buy paintings. And it was incoherent and a huge flippin' mess. And, like, at one point it devolves into Pirate Congress with Pirate Robert's Rules of Order.
Oh, my.
And, yeah, and there's, like, more hair extensions than you can shake a pointer sister at. And it's just bananas and incoherent. And the fact that they've made two movies beyond what was arguably one of the biggest CGI messes in American cinema since Thor: The Dark World. Like, God bless you, pirate movie groupies. You've got to be out there, because they would not keep making these movies if you did not show up for them.
Yeah, I only ever saw the first one, which I didn't enjoy.
Yeah.
And couldn't believe they made a second one. And still couldn't believe that they keep making them. And
it's like when the pirates get into, like, pirate, that they, like, pull out their pirate rule book. To talk about, like, their pirate statecraft. And I thought the whole point of being a pirate was that you operated outside of a political structure for profit, not that you...
Point of order, Captain!
Seriously.
Oh, it was really?
Like, and there's a parrot that, like, weighs in as the sergeant of arms. It is...
You can't bring up new business when we have not yet discussed old business, says I!
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It is downright ridiculous. Mm. It is...
I resent the pirates of the
Caribbean or Caribbean?
Caribbean, whatever you want to say.
Yes.
The Pirates of the Tomato.
Yes.
I resent it for ruining the ride, actually, because they've stuck Johnny Depp all over that damn ride at Disney.
I wish they would stick Michael Bolton in that ride. Because, like, when we took our small daughter on it repeatedly, because she liked when we told her about Anne Bonny and Mary Read, every time we were on that ride, though, I just kept thinking of the Lonely Island thing that they did with Michael Bolton, where it turns out Michael Bolton's a major cinemaphile.
Yeah.
So I feel like there should be an homage to that in there. But yeah, it was not an impressive trailer because, oh, look, it's although, like, the thing that got the science nerd in me all exercised, and you heard me yelping about this on the couch, was they had, like, skeleton sharks swimming around the water. Sharks don't have skeletons! They're made of cartilage! They dissolve into the sea! So, like, irritating. Anyway.
Perhaps at some point in the movie, Johnny Depp jumps over the shark symbolize.
To get to his latest royalty show. Uh-huh. Whatever, man. Mm. Yeah. Not going to see it. Looks big and dumb and like something you would watch if you were stoned. All right.
So, Guardians of the Galaxy.
So, I'm in the tank for this one because they used my favorite Fleetwood Mac song, which is Chains. I love that song. Yeah. I love Rumours as an album, but I love Chains, and more importantly, I love Chains on the 1997 The Dance. It's just, oh, God, that song.
So not really being...
you don't like Fleetwood Mac.
I don't like Fleetwood Mac.
And you don't like the MCU.
And I don't like the MCU. I like the first one.
Yeah. I made you watch the first one with
grudgingly, I liked the first one.
Well, it had Peter Serafinowicz in it, and we both love Peter Serafinowicz.
Are they going to just reuse the same music since he only has the one tape, or is another tape going to make it through the wormhole? How do they keep adding music to
that? There was a second tape.
Oh, there was a
second. That was the present he had been holding on to, and he had been unwilling to unwrap it, because then it would really hammer hole the hole. It would have hammered home the whole "my mother is dead" and I'm never getting another mixtape.
Well, then all my reservations about this movie are resolved.
No, I
must see.
I have a few extra reservations, which is that it suffers from sequel bloat, where they keep adding people because they've added two or three more characters. Notably, it looks like this is possibly the first Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 trailer where the number of lines spoken by female characters may be approaching nearly half of that of the CGI tree. So, like, that's a huge step forward in gender relations in the MCU. We're very excited about the fact that maybe by the third or fourth trailer, a woman will utter a word.
Mm.
Yeah, super looking forward to that.
And, moving on, because I think you know, you're going to see the movie, and I'll eventually see it.
Yeah.
No,
like, the most insulting rant I saw for Guardians of the Galaxy was, it has a shirtless Chris Pratt. Don't care.
Yeah.
I can see shirtless Chris Pratt on the internet anytime. You know what I can't see on the internet? A woman talking during an action movie preview.
Well, you could see that. It's just there'll be several thousand comments from dudes correcting her.
That's right. Well,
actually,
this is ruining my childhood.
At least you're not a Ghostbuster.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Uh-huh. So, A Cure for Wellness.
Yeah, it's an ad that ran. Children were in the room.
Oh, man. We were going to...
Children in the room.
Talk about this on an earlier episode, and I guess we never did.
Oh, did we not talk about A Cure for Wellness?
I don't think that we did. I'll vamp for a little bit.
No, it was a horror movie, and basically it's a creepy European spa, and presumably there are people who are pumping other people for blood and... the essence of youth or what have you, and it's going to be creepy and awful because there's never been a European spa in the movies, I hasten to add, that hasn't been creepy and awful. And I want to emphasize again that this super creepy spa was running during an event where lots of children are in the room. Let me emphasize that again. Children. People of all ages. Small children who are now asking, Mother, why are people going to a spa where people become addicted to pain?
Yeah, We didn't discuss it.
Oh, okay.
Just amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
And not recorded on the tape. It has the look and feel of just something that would be 90 minutes of unpleasantness.
Yeah.
And I'm not hardwired to like horror movies or thrillers of that nature. And not being a huge fan of snakes, if you stick squirmy, eely things in your movie,
like
that is basically saying to me, hey, give this one a pass, Phil.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't come see our movie.
Yeah.
It's not for you. And there's lots of eely things in this.
No.
I cleverly, in the Super Bowl, they did it like it was a medical ad.
It started off like a Viagra ad, and then it took a hard veer into the left. But, that's...
And it's the
hooray for the twist.
First time parents probably ever said, God, I wish this was a Viagra ad. let me tell you about priapisms, kids. Better than the Ely people.
I mean, why is that man holding that woman's hand in a bathtub? Because it's a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Hey, speaking of eely creatures with tentacles.
Oh, yeah.
It's Life and Ryan Reynolds.
A movie not about the cereal, a movie not about the magazine. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it's your classic space horror movie, which takes the trope that something invades the hermetically sealed environment no one can escape from. Everybody spends all their time dying in gruesome ways. There will inevitably be, like, one survivor left. The only real question of the movie is going to be, will the noxious life form actually, like, invade our Earth, or will he heroically keep it off the planet and then die having extinguished it?
I think the other question of the movie is...
can we tell Jake Gyllenhaal from Ryan Reynolds? Because they look pretty interchangeable as, like, big-eyed, brown-haired white dudes.
Okay, there's a third question in the movie, and that question is, how good are Ridley Scott's lawyers? Because I was watching this and going, so they remade Alien, huh?
Well, you know what this reminds me of is there's a movie Danny Boyle did it called Sunshine?
Yeah, that's Danny Boyle.
I really love that movie.
Hmm.
It's a very good movie. And it's got a great cast. It's got Cliff Curtis. It's got, I think it's Michelle Yeoh.
Mm-hmm.
It has Cillian Murphy. It's got...
of course it has Cillian Murphy.
Well, Cillian Murphy is basically every director's muse, I think. It's the cheekbones.
Rose Byrne.
Yeah. And it's got, but Cliff Curtis is a revelation, and it is somebody who slowly goes crazy. Yeah, it was Michelle Yeoh.
Mm-hmm.
Rose Byrne is in it. She's very good.
Chris Evans?
Yes, a very beardy Chris Evans. Anyway, the point is it's a really strong cast, and they have to go drop a nuke into the sun because reasons. And over the course of the mission, they run into another spaceship which had failed in the drop a nuke into the sun mission, and gradually there's like a demonic possession of sorts, and people go crazy. And those kind of movies I will watch because I'm a sucker for space stuff, and they scare the pants off me. And so this movie Life, I will probably wait until it comes on cable, and then one day I'll watch it, and you'll come upstairs and find me rocking in a ball on the floor going, I watched it, Phil. I couldn't tell Ryan Reynolds from Jake Gyllenhaal. It was so confusing.
There are two things about the movie that that are red flags for me.
Uh-huh.
One is that we seem to be back to the era where Ryan Reynolds has made a good movie that everyone likes, and
then he goes makes crap.
So now we're cutting him blank checks again, and we're forgetting your Green Lanterns and your Von Wilders or your that wasn't Deadpool.
My hope is that he makes this so he can go on and make the Deadpool because he has some cash to throw around. That's my hope, is he's like, look, I do this because the movies I like to do pay nothing. My big thing about this is it looks like they kill the black character first, even in the trailer. And, you know, in terms of survival rates in movies, if you are a black astronaut, it is, like, worse than being a terrestrial black person because you will die, like, 2 minutes into the movie as opposed to 10 minutes into the movie. It's pretty awful.
And my other red flag here is that it does the moral equivalent of the children singing a dirge-like version of a popular record, in that it's Jake Gyllenhaal doing a pained recitation of Goodnight Moon as horrible things are happening on the ship. Goodnight Moon! Goodnight Bowl filled with mush!
I hate that book, by the way.
Yeah, it's not a good book.
I really hate that
book. So now I want to see a movie where someone is reading The Shy Little Kitten or The
Bat.
And reading it in a tremulous voice.
How about We Help Daddy?
Or We Help Daddy while nukes are falling over the earth.
Yeah. Oh, that's a Twilight Zone episode where people are just caught in a bunker with nothing but little golden books.
Yes, basically, I think the little golden books need to start being worked into movies as poignant counterpoints to whatever the hell is happening.
Watching Guardians of the Galaxy.
Zombies are eating my face. Time to read The Saggy Baggy Elephant.
No, in Guardians of the Galaxy 3, Groot and the raccoon will end up reading there's a monster at the end of this book. with the raccoon providing trenchant commentary on every page.
A Cure for Wellness, also featuring the scrawny, tawny lion.
I love the scrawny, tawny lion.
Scrawny, tawny lion thought, I'll eat you, you rabbits!
But no, he was converted to a diet, and now he's happy.
Yeah.
Now he's happy. That's the lesson.
So
we eat what the rabbits make us.
Now here come the eels to suck off our faces.
But they brought blueberries to the feast, so it's all okay.
Okay, all so right. Those are my concerns. Hey, it's Ghost in the Shell.
I liked it better when I saw it as an anime back in the 90s.
Mm-hmm. And now it's a live action with Scarlett Johansson in a bodysuit.
Like, she's really good at acting, but I'm not sure how good she is at acting Asian. I feel like she should talk to Emma Stone about that.
Mm. She keeps playing... It seems like Scarlett Johansson keeps getting these roles like Lucy and...
So did you see Lucy? Did I make you watch that?
No.
I loved Lucy.
Did you know?
I did.
Okay.
Well, because she plays a total dirtbag who gets powers, and that's always, that's always fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's... Well, because...
So it's sort of like a super serious My Name is Earl.
Pretty much, yes. Yes. Well, that's the thing is
money is a power, Lisa.
So I watched...
perhaps the greatest power.
So I watched the latest Mission Impossible movie, which was ridiculous for just reasons we can go into in a whole different episode. And maybe that's what we talk about in our Pledge Drive episode in March, which will be coming up. But anyway...
Stay on target.
Okay, to the back.
So what movie are we talking about right now?
Philip, I'm making a point.
Okay.
I'm getting it a long way. It's a spiral.
You know, the important thing in life is
to not be interrupted when you're making your point, because you're trying to get from point A to point B.
Is the journey and the friends we make along the way.
The greatest adventure, Phil.
In Lucy and Mission Impossible.
The point is about Mission Impossible, is it's like competence porn. Everybody there is super duper competent, and they are all like completely... Get your mind back on track.
I'm right.
And everybody there is like super duper competent, and they're all hyper qualified, and they are also men and women of sterling character. And what I liked about Lucy instead is that Lucy is like a hot mess even before she's experimented on, and then like she's like, oh god, oh god, oh god. through half the movie until she finally gets her head together. And I appreciate that. I think that's I think that made the story more interesting.
Okay.
So
Scarlett Johansson as a robot is a big yes for you.
No, it's not.
Okay.
No, because first of all, this is in Japanese film, and there are literally thousands of non-white actors who could have taken this part.
She was in Lost in Translation, Lisa. That's like being given honorary citizenship in Japan.
Lena Dunham, get out of my husband and let him speak again.
Okay.
Also, not a big fan of the bodysuit because I feel like it does the whole, oh, we're dehumanizing the female body, so it's merely an object that performs things, and not a big fan of that.
Haven't seen the original.
Yeah. Oh, you should. I should make you watch it. I used to own it on DVD.
I know. You watched a lot of anime.
I did, yes.
Way back when.
Back when we were dating, yes.
Yes.
I made you watch Serial Experiment Lane with me.
Mm-hmm.
Do not do.
No.
Okay. All right. Next
trailer. No one would understand it.
Ha, 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 ha. All right.
Hey, it's our old friend Logan, who we talked about on the last episode.
It's like another Johnny Cash song, I think.
Yeah. No, it was, this was Amazing Grace.
Yeah, oh.
Yeah, they came oh so close to doing the Michigan fight song in a tremulous voice. Instead, it's Amazing Grace.
Well, this is a terrible trailer. Like, this was cut to be even more confusing and incoherent, and I don't see how this could possibly persuade people to watch the movie.
If you literally did not know it was an X-Men movie, you would not know
Hugh Jackman looks like a hobo, and I guess...
Well, no, he looks like Mel Gibson, but that's the same thing at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Hugh Jackman looks like a hobo, and frankly, like, how is that going to get anyone's butt in the theater? Like, the number of hobo fetishists in America is not that great.
At last, they made a movie for me. Smokin' Joe! I'm going to ride the rails down to my local Cineplex, use something in my bindle to negotiate the entry into the movie, then I'm going to break a can of beans and watch Logan!
Yeah, it gets super awkward when he lights the sternum during a fight scene. Hugh Jackman looks like a hobo. That's not why you go to see Hugh Jackman.
The hobos can leave their ratings and markings outside the theater. 4 stars!
There's like a Tumblr devoted to all the signs that they use.
Yeah.
American balloons and a hipster, hipster
apocalypse. 2 thumbs up! This looks like a squirrel. That's right! That's my thumbs!
Oh, God. Literally no one listening to this knows about the hobo code, honey.
No, I think they do.
They can Google it.
Yeah. All right, so...
Oh, God. So here's the thing, is Transformers The Last Knight looks pretty incoherent on the screen.
Because the first 4 Transformers movies were really solidly written
I was getting ready to talk about... I actually don't remember. Did we ever see any of these?
We have not seen a Transformer
movie. I don't think I've even managed to watch one.
Because the first 3 were the Shia LaBeouf...
One of his art projects.
Trilogy,
huh?
And now it's been transferred over. The bloodless transfer of power has been handed from Shia LaBeouf to Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
I don't. That we call in sports, we call that lateral movement.
So I didn't know True Dread, because this just looked big and dumb in CGI.
Anthony Hopkins is there.
Anthony Hopkins was in the Thor movies. He'll do anything. but I didn't know True Dread until I opened up the IMDb page and then saw Sir Kay, King Arthur, Tristan, and thought, oh Christ, they're going to go back in time to the Round Table, and we're going to find out that, like, Excalibur was actually a proto-Transformer or something. We are literally going to have, like, transforming cars thundering across Umbria, and Lot of Orkney is going to be on a motorcycle that magically turns into a ninja or something, and it's just going to be this big, dumb, 10-year-old child's mashup of how what happens when knights meet cars or something. It will be bananas.
So long as it becomes like they break out into songs from Camelot. I'll be happy.
Well, as long as Mark Wahlberg is singing them, right?
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what the king is doing tonight.
I can't do a Mark Wahlberg voice.
No, no one can. That's the thing. He defies it. He's like the Teflon of mm-hmm. celebrity impersonations. You literally can't impersonate somebody who looks like a mobile hate crime.
They messed with the wrong town!
No, you sound like Mary Quimby on The Simpsons.
Yeah, well.
Alright.
So does Mark Wahlberg.
So,
So that's Transformers The Last Knight. I
don't think even stoned people will go see this, because this is too loud to be mellow, too.
I actually thought we were done with Transformer movies. I thought there was nothing left to say.
No, this is just big and dumb and loud, and mm-hmm. they've pulled in King Arthur, which is never a good sign. And
can't we move on to the GoBots? And then finally, Baywatch. The final trailer.
Yeah.
Is the Baywatch trailer.
So, you know who I always feel sorry for in these stills is the poor guy that they make keep his shirt on.
Yes.
I feel sorry for him.
Well, because he's there to be the... He's there to be the... Hey, look, everyone, it's Tubby.
Yeah.
Tubby with all these beautiful people and that guy.
I mean, for all we know, he was the onset Lothario and was you know, ladies, form a lot... The queue is orderly and it's to the left or what have you, because he's, like, approachable or what have you. But right. I feel very sorry for him because he's on the screen with, you know, three women who are contractually forbidden from eating pasta. Mm-hmm. And then Zac Efron, who has apparently eaten a bodybuilder. And
then The Rock, who is carved from mahogany. Onyx. Yes,
mahogany is a better one. Yes, yeah. I mean The Rock, who's just a. It is as if Zeus himself breathed life into a beautiful statue. And then Apollo did maketh merry.
At some point, The Rock has to start doing better things, doesn't he?
Yes.
Well, this because he's in two of these trailers, and I realize the Fast and the Furious movies have become basically, I want to hang out with my friends for a few months and drive cars. And
maybe we'll play a Tracy Chapman song and snigger along because that's our idea of a punchline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But seriously, he doesn't have to do the goddamn Baywatch movie at this point in his life, does he?
Are
people still going, I don't know what to do with The Rock. He's charismatic and handsome and can sing and will sell movies like nobody's business. But let's put him in the crap-ass Baywatch knockoff.
Well, I guess the thing I don't understand is you've got an actor who is an actor at this point. You've got an actor with a proven track record of working hard at whatever he does.
Yep.
And he will sell the crap out of anything he's in. Like, he literally will do his best. It can be a movie where he carries around Kevin Hart in a man purse or whatever.
Yeah.
And he will be out there just, oh, it's so awesome, and Kevin Hart is the greatest, and we should all have travel-sized comedians to make us laugh on set or what have you. And, like you said, he's charismatic, and it drove me bananas when they're like, oh, you know what we're gonna do? We're gonna make him Black Adam in the DC universe. And the reason it drove me bananas is, well, it makes sense visually. When you see Black Adam in the comics, you can kind of tell that they're all using The Rock as a model anyway, because not white. Mm-hmm. And a lot of comic book artists really have a really limited perspective of what people look like when they don't look like Christopher Reeve. But I kept thinking, you've got a guy who's got charisma in spades. Why was he not considered for Superman? Or why was he not considered, again, I think he would have made a great Guy Gardner.
Yeah. He would have been great in a Green
Lantern
movie.
I guess the next question is why did nobody who's associated with the Marvel movies try to pick him up? Because you've got a tremendously physical actor who works well with others and sells the bejesus out of things and would happily make a billion of these movies for you.
Yeah, I'm not saying you have to, like, fences with The Rock.
No.
But please give him a franchise that is... That is worthy of him, and that someone puts effort into, and that is creative, and not just, I'm going to
fly a helicopter into an earthquake.
Yeah, Baywatch is basically, well, lots of dumb 90s people will go and say, it's the Baywatch movie, and throw down their money, and maybe...
It feels like I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. Because I get the approach of the trailer is like, oh, we're going to be ironic about this, and it's all...
No, they're trying to do take the 21 Jump Street approach with, and you liked the first one.
Oh, well, Channing Tatum's hilarious in the first
one. Well, and again...
Charming Tater is just the best.
To draw the Rock comparison,
Channing Tatum is another one, but he's had a really smart... So, here's the thing I'm going to raise, though, is Channing Tatum is white.
Well, sure.
And as
much... If you say so, I...
You don't see colors.
I try not to.
No, but my point is I think that it is easier to pitch Channing Tatum, especially to numbers people, and say he'll do well overseas. And my worry is that, or rather my unfounded suspicion, is that one of the reasons The Rock ends up making the movies he makes is it's probably acceptable to have a multicultural cast of action stars, but try building a Mission Impossible-like franchise around a non-white actor and see how it goes.
It's a possibility. Yeah. I suspect there's also some pro wrestling bias in there.
Yeah.
Where it's a wrestler. So.
Which, again, is
dumb because...
If you hire Hooters waitresses and dinner theater people, then you should certainly be able to hire a wrestler. Those guys, and
wrestlers will sell the hell out of your movie, as we've said.
Yeah, I mean, John Cena.
John Cena.
Yeah, who's another one who hasn't had... nearly the level of success as The Rock, but the guy's got a work ethic that tears it down. It's
because, well, because your entire livelihood as a wrestler is to convince people to come out to an arena to watch you have
to
watch you have a fight.
Yeah, and it's so yeah. But I do feel like my suspicion is there is probably somebody who runs numbers and says this won't go over big in China. We have to find people who are more palatable, or this won't sell on the subcontinent, or we can't get butts into seats in Europe with this actor. So, because at this point, U.S. movie grosses are not where your money is made. Your money is usually made in DVD sales, in streaming, and, this is key, in international distribution.
Absolutely, sure.
And China is the biggest movie market in the world these days. And now when Hollywood makes movies, they have to make casting decisions in mind with what sells in Shenzhen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think we're actually going to see a lot of different casting shakeups over the next 10 years as more and more studios begin to look at China as their primary audience, and especially as more and more Chinese billionaires begin to pump money into the studios, as they have been doing for the last few years, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, long story short, though, Rock needs a better career.
Yes.
We love the Dwayne Johnson. I was so happy with him in Moana, because he really rose to the material, and he gave it a great spin. And to really appreciate what he does, get the Moana soundtrack, and then skip ahead to whatever dude they hired to, like, sex up the song You're Welcome and sing it to the microphone like he's singing it to a young woman who's taken off her clothes. And you're like, oh, this doesn't work unless it's The Rock singing.
Yeah.
No, it's pretty awful.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, it's even worse than the young woman who basically clucks the theme song.
Yeah, the Disney soundtracks, they have the actual songs that you hear in the movie sung by the performers, and then they do the radio versions that
are profoundly terrible.
That feature whichever Disney inked artist they want to promote, and whoever they have singing. What is the
How Far I'll Go?
How Far I'll Go? The Academy Award nominated How Far I'll Go, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And she sings it through her nose, and she
and they auto-tune it to within an inch of its life.
It's auto-tuned, and I amuse my 6-year-old by pretending as if a chicken lady is singing the song.
Yeah.
And
we will sing that as we'll cluck that as a family. It's become a bonding ritual.
I'm a duck, I'm a goose, I'm a gosling, I'm a gander. So
maybe that's our pledge drive thing, is Philip Michaels sings the hits avian style.
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, those were the Super Bowl ads. None of them made me very excited about movies.
No, no. Actually, you could not have kept me further away from than a cinema than if you had filled it up with eels.
No. No, the weird thing is the one movie I'm really into seeing this year has not put out a single trailer. And I wonder if that's why I'm so into seeing what it looks like, is what is his last name? He's the one who did What We Do in the Shadows?
Oh,
Taika Waititi, I think his name.
Yes.
I'm probably mangling it, and I apologize for not YouTubing a pronunciation of his name before doing this, because I didn't know I'd move here. But I've also started watching Boy, which is available streaming on Netflix, and I love his work, and I'm really curious to see how much of him gets through to a movie, which is arguably Thor Goes on a Road Trip with the Hulk.
And I want to see the other Hunt for the Wilder People, which was his movie from last year. I think that's on Netflix now, so we should...
Or it's available for renting, but yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's the one movie, and I haven't seen anything other than like the 30 seconds of Comic-Con footage, and so now I can't wait for the first trailer.
Yeah. But
nothing I saw made me excited.
It will be interesting to see how he has a very
distinctive
approach to movie making and storytelling, and
it's so openly humanist.
And it will be interesting to see if Marvel squeezes all the life out of it.
Yeah. No, but what I like about his stuff is how much affection he has for people and their foibles.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see how much of that translates over, because, again, one of the things that I thought made Ant-Man so great was how openly affectionate they were about people who, again, aren't super competent or super powered. Like,
sure.
There was a genuine love of the characters in that movie that, frankly, we could see more of.
Mm-hmm.
But in any event, here's hoping we see better trailers.
Yes.
Perhaps in Q2, after we move out of the fallow season.
Yes, as we get closer to summer blockbuster season.
Yeah. But anyway, all of you who put trailers in Super Bowl ads, we are disappointed in your work. We find it terrible. And do better.
Sure. Do we want to talk the pledge drive?
So that starts in March. Yeah. What we're going to do is we're going to tease it now. Consider it to be like the 30-second tease. Anyway, long story...
It's our Super Bowl trailer.
Yes, and it's terrible. but anyway, long story short, March will be pledge month. We will, of course, have more details for you as our Overlord Master makes them readily available. And long story short... depending on how well pledges do, we will ruin the movie of your choice.
You can pick a movie.
Yes, and we'll ruin it for
you. Remember that burnt episode we did? Well,
that was all thanks to a sadistic viewer, listener.
Yes, but we're
grateful for you.
Yes, and we picked that movie, and then he was kind enough to run it for us. But this time...
You make us watch the movie.
This time, you call the tune that we dance to.
Yes.
Maybe you want to make Phil watch that movie with eels in it. Maybe you want to make Lisa watch, I don't know what...
A Kubrick movie?
Yeah, a Stanley Kubrick movie. Lisa does not like Stanley Kubrick movies.
It's the sound. The sound creeps me out.
So, yeah. Or maybe you want to actually go easy on your friends, Phil and Lisa, and make them watch something good or something.
Have us watch a Transformers movie.
Yeah.
We've never seen one.
You literally have 8 Fast and Furious movies to pick from.
7.
That we have not seen.
Yes,
so.
You have 8 we have not seen, 7 have been released.
Okay.
So this is us having taken on the Super Bowl. I think
But are we going to do the thing where we talk about movies that we've seen and actually like?
Well, we're 35 minutes in, honey.
But we've tried these people's patience for an hour before. I can go for 10 minutes.
All right, 10 minutes.
Okay.
We're holding you to it.
Yeah.
And then what I want to do is I want to promise them an Oscar. Phil and Lisa ruin the Oscars.
Okay.
When we talk about the history of the Best Picture Oscar winners and how I feel like this year, La La Land is going to be this year's the greatest show on earth.
Oh, of course it will be.
Uh-huh. But anyway, I want to talk about what you've seen.
Yes. So I'll keep this brief and talk about my least favorite genre of movie, which is the comedy western. Because so often the comedy western says, hey, you like westerns. Well, westerns are stupid, and here's, and we're going to make fun of the
conventions. It's not a meditation on the disposable nature of humanity and the closing of the American frontier. It's a yuck fest with horse poop.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I recently watched 2 movies that I guess fit into the comedy western genre, but are not... One is very good, and one could have been good. The could have been good one was There Was a Crooked Man, which is, I want to say, 1970, and it's Kirk Douglas as a terrible...
Oh, God, I watched part of this.
Yes,
movie.
You did. As a terrible villain, and Henry Fonda as the upright lawman who's going to bring him to justice and actually reform him. And there's a hint of a good movie in there.
Yeah.
Because Kirk Douglas is not having any attempts at reformation, but they just throw in this, they are way too much into, well, it's 1970s and we can show boobs in a movie now, so here's ladies with boobs, and as opposed to ladies without boobs, which would be less funny.
Yeah.
And so it does a lot of, it keeps getting in its own way, instead of actually being a nice... upending of the conventions of westerns in the spirit of The Wild Bunch. And you sit there and you watch it and go, oh, I wish this movie would have been better. But a really good movie that I just watched is A Big Hand for the Little Lady. And it's less a comedy western than it is a con movie or a caper movie. And it's built around a poker game. Again, Henry Fonda is in this one. Joanne Woodward is in this one, but literally it is the murderer's row of character actors, because have Burgess Meredith, you have Paul Ford, who if you've seen Music Man, he's the mayor in that. If you saw Sergeant Bilko, he was the blustering I want to say colonel in that. Bilko, I'm here. He's in that, and there's a whole bunch of other character actors where it's that guy Jack Quaylen, who was in His Gal Friday and a whole bunch of John Ford movies, and it's built around a poker game. I saw the movie as a kid,
as a child,
because it aired continuously on AMC back when AMC aired movies.
You had cable as a child, huh?
In my teens, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
And I had actually seen the twist ending, which I'm not going to talk about here. And this was the first time I've seen it in like 30 years, and it really holds up well, even if you know the ending that's coming. And I really enjoyed it, and I would recommend it. Uh-huh. Wholeheartedly. Jason Robards is also awesome. And yeah. I will watch me some Jason Robards.
You like him
any day of the week. So that is my things that Phil watched, and I think I brought it in under 10 minutes. Thank you, Lisa.
All right. So I'm trying to find the name of the one that I watched. It is actually I watched it in the Debbie Reynolds
marathon.
Sure. Marathon. I cannot for the life of me remember the name of the movie. I have been frantically trying to find it in IMDb. It was made with her and Donald O'Connor after Singing in the Rain. Okay. And the entire joke... And Donald O'Connor is wooing her. She is an aspiring Broadway star. He is a photographer for Life magazine. They meet cute when she's playing a football on Broadway. She plays an actual human football who gets tossed around by men on stage. Huh. And,
okay, keep going.
And they're smitten. However, her family wants her to marry a pleasant but dull rich person, and she wants to marry this scallywag photographer, and long story short, he mocks up a photo cover for her, and it turns out not to work out, because it's a fake photo cover. Her family jumps to conclusions. There's a smart-aleck kid sister, Debbie Reynolds, is adorably Debbie Reynolds-esque. Donald O'Connor is adorably Donald O'Connor-esque. There are some nice singing, there are some nice dancing, and it has the feel of a studio picture.
No, sure.
And it reminded me exactly how much I love studio pictures, precisely because it's something where you're like, oh, a slot A goes into tab B, here's what goes along. It's the same reason I'm a huge sucker for drawing room pictures. And I will happily watch anything that features Olivia de Havilland being put upon in a parlor somewhere.
I am desperately, while you're talking.
It's I Love Melvin.
I Love Melvin.
I'm pretty sure it's I Love Melvin.
Okay.
Yes, it's I Love Melvin. That's the one I watched.
Well, there. I'm anyway, glad we could sort that out.
It's not a bad way to spend less than 2 hours. And
Jim Backus is in this one.
Yes.
Mr. Magoo,
and
Thurston Howell.
Look, it's competently made. Debbie Reynolds, again, I want to emphasize, she plays a football. She plays someone who gets flung around on stage while a bunch of men high kick and sing about the glories of football. And it is one of the most, like, you cannot, if you watch this and then go back and watch Hail Caesar, especially the Channing Tatum No Dames, like, you're all, ooh, the subtext has been made text.
Sure.
But yeah, that was the one I watched during the Debbie Reynolds the big Demi Rollins Day. Mm-hmm. And that is, I think that's the last movie I saw recently.
Okay. Well, that's a good one.
Yeah.
It's an enjoyable one.
Yeah, no, I rewatched What We Did in the Shadows because I needed a good laugh.
Well, sure.
And I love that movie. And werewolves, not swearwolves gets me every time. Oh, it does. And especially the way they set up who's the alpha in the pack. So yeah. if you catch What We Do in the Shadows on HBO, I urge you watch. Oh, I know what I saw that I want to talk to you about.
Okay.
It was Big and Dumb and Loud and Wet and on Fire simultaneously.
Okay.
It's Now You See Me Too.
Oh, yeah, which we talked about in trailer form when it was being trailerized.
Oh, I watched it.
Yeah.
Oh, I watched it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to point out, I have some...
Like the first one.
I have affection for the first one.
As we discussed.
It's a caper movie, and the ensemble is tight, and I have a lot of goodwill towards Jesse Eisenberg, which is weird, because he plays characters that seem like you shouldn't. But, you know, he writes for The New Yorker, and he's funny, and he does a competent job on screen. This movie is just a terrible sequel. Oh my god, it's so terrible! And it's disappointing, because it has Lizzie Kaplan swapping in for Isla Fisher, and I like Lizzie Kaplan a lot. She's really funny. I enjoyed a really iffy indie movie that she's in that's on Netflix, but the iffy indie movie that she's in on Netflix also is Alison Brie and Martin Starr, and so it's funny and snappy, and I'm blanking on the name of it, but Lizzie Kaplan's in the sequel, and she's like a YouTube magic sensation, which are words that have just been put together in a sentence. And again, Dave Franco is back, and he's got a nice low-key charisma. I like him. He's, you know, he's fun to watch, but they have Woody Harrelson playing identical twins this time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you have
Daniel Radcliffe is in the movie.
Yes, he teams up with Michael Caine, and so you have like this. And Dan Radcliffe is a fine actor; he throws himself into whatever he does. But to see him in a scene with Michael Caine, it's like you're like, oh, you brought both the travel-sized and the economy-sized British actors to this this to do. And it's just confusing and dumb and incoherent and filled with conspiracies. And worst of all, parts of it are boring. So,
well, that's the worst thing that a movie like that can
do. So I think what I'm most angry about is you had a bunch of very engaging thespians, and they are all egregiously misused in the service of something that is, again, I want to stress, big and dumb and wet and on fire. Mm-hmm. So, no, that's a hard no for me. Go back to just watching TCM.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Well, there are some movies that uh-huh. we've recommended, some of which have been released in the last 50 years, though not really.
No. No.
Yeah. Any hoodle,
we'll be back with an Oscars telecast closer to the award ceremony, where we'll talk about some of the Oscar picks of the past, what we liked, what we didn't, and perhaps we'll do some vintage trailer diving in YouTube.
Ooh.
Perhaps we shall.
This is the first I've heard of this. I'm liking it.
I'm improvisational like that.
It sounds good.
And we will also be back with details about pledge drives and our inducements for those of you who do pledge and the members-only stuff that only members will get.
Yep.
All right. So in the meantime, we want to thank all of you for listening and thank you for putting up with us. And we hope to hear from you soon, either on Twitter. Philip is at Phil Michaels.
Philip Michaels.
Mm-hmm. One L and Philip. I'm at L Schmeiser, L-S-C-H-M-E-I-S-E-R. Looking forward to hearing you on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Keep watching for eels. They're in every movie now.